Father Doctor Clavier.
Yes.
From St. Stephen's House. And he trains ordnance. He's a vice principal at St. Stephen's House, currently the acting principal. And he also works in Augustine. His academic research is in Augustine. And he will be coming out soon with a book on Augustine and consumerism. And as you will see, that's very much to do with what he's speaking on today. Actually, I have the proper title. It was difficult to memorize, so apologies. Yes. I have to pull up my phone. But it's an excellent title. Satisfying Delight, Enjoying God, Creation, and Others in a Consumer Culture. So, without further ado.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so I work on Augustine, and because you have to, in theology, you often have to pick someone you want to work on. I didn't exactly want to work on Augustine, but anybody who has ever done any work on Augustine finds that it's very difficult then to escape Augustine. So more broadly, my interest is in the theology of delight. What is delight? How has it functioned within Christian theology? And what angle does it give us? What perspective does the Christian tradition and the way it has made use of delight offer to us as we try to understand and challenge consumerism? And so this is what my talk is on this evening. You're going to get copious amounts of Augustine, but hopefully some delight as well. So around 13 years ago, I discovered that I had a few days to myself. The autumnal mountains of the Appalachians beckoned, and so I decided I would go walking. Mind you, I hadn't done much hiking since I was a teenager. The 25 kilos I had gained since leaving seminary seemed to suggest that I had developed a certain attachment to our sofa. But I was keen to go, and so I packed my backpack, strapped on a pair of heavy boots, grabbed a hat and walking stick, and drove up into the Blue Ridge Mountains to a trailhead that would lead me into the Shining Rock Wilderness. I was in a happy mood. It was a glorious day. The path from the car park was a disused lumber road that turned out to be as level as the map had promised, which was a good thing because I was out of shape. The walk, which involved avoiding puddles and scrambling over broken terrain, was pleasant enough. The mountains sloped steeply to my left into a valley that wound its way among the surrounding hills and mountains. Behind these lay rows of further mountains, each set growing less distinct in the bluish haze. After a while, I encountered a small wood into which flittered dappled sunlight through ash, maple, hickory, and oak, while small birds darted from the underbrush and skipped along the ground ahead of me like dolphins before a ship. I felt like I had stepped into a forest from Tolkien. Not long afterwards, I walked out onto Ivester Gap, and my heart leapt for joy. I'm not sure what it was about the place, the bald slopes that gave a complete panorama of the surrounding mountains, the sense of being far from civilization, or simply the setting of blue-green vistas. Whatever it was, I was completely unprepared for its effect on me. My heart felt lighter, and I skipped like a young child or an old fool. Several times I couldn't help but laugh aloud. I think I may have spooked not a few birds and rodents as I skipped along the path in utter rapture. Had anyone been around, I'm sure they would have turned around and fled. But I didn't care. I was drunk with delight. Coincidentally enough, at the same time I was working with some young adults on their prayer life, and I was getting nowhere with them. Though they didn't really articulate it this way, the problem was always the same. They found prayer boring. They couldn't develop a spiritual discipline because it was all so tedious in comparison to their steady diet of social media, television, console games, and other stimulating activities. I began to realize that their lifestyle had gradually inoculated them against simple forms of delight. So there was the artist, who no longer painted. The young man, who lived within Pisgah Forest, but spent his time playing Grand Theft Auto. And another, who complained about being too busy even though he constantly posted on Facebook. What they all had in common was that stimulating entertainment occupied a huge part of their life. It was like a drug. So all this got me thinking about delight. What is it? What does it mean to enjoy something for its own sake? And does delight really differ from entertainment? And what about the kind of delight I had experienced atop the mountain? That was somehow different from the pleasures I derive from watching a good television program or listening to a song on the radio. But how so? What made it different? And are some delights more wholesome than others? You must understand, at this point, my ruminations were fairly basic. But they were enough to get me reading. And much to my surprise, that study eventually led me to the medieval mystics, of all people. It was in the writings of people like Anselm of Canterbury and Aelred of Rivaux, Bonaventure, and Julian of Norwich that I found literature filled with delight. Anselm ends his Proslogion with two chapters celebrating the immeasurable delight of God. Bonaventure, in his journey in the mind to God, erects a ladder of delight culminating in a God who is primordial delight himself. And Lady Julian hardly wrote a page without employing the word delight. These three and others open to me a whole new world in which delight isn't some pleasant distraction, but lies at the very heart of existence. Without quite knowing how it happened, I ended up studying the works of a chap who, in popular imagination, represents all that is not delightful, Augustine of Hippo. Yes, the man who brought you the cheery doctrine of predestination and the bondage of the human will, and who described humanity as a mass of sin and thought sex a bad thing, at least when it was fun. Not exactly the poster boy for delight. And yet, I soon discovered that he had an incredibly, incredibly robust view of delight. More importantly, I found that his view of delight provided me with new insights into what might be called a theology of delight, a theology that has important applications for living as Christians within our contemporary world. I became convinced that an understanding of delight rooted in the Trinity compels us to confront our consumer culture for the ways it not only destroys creation, but turns people away from God. What could be worse than Augustine after some drinks and nibbles on a pleasant evening? Well, actually, I'm going to start with a self-important windbag, Cicero. Augustine, a lot of people don't know this because he's so often presented as being a philosopher before he was a theologian, but Augustine actually was never trained as a philosopher. He was trained as a rhetor, as someone employed to teach Roman toffs how to speak well in public. His first career break came after delivering an oration to one of the great Roman senators of his time. Subsequently, he moved to Milan to work as an imperial rhetor, a kind of